Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Nun Aleph. We left off Nun Amabez at the two dots, three lines up from the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for his and also Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha Shalom, of course. We thank Dr. Lander very much for his continued sponsorship of the shiur. So yesterday, we started getting introduced to the Maisa that happened with Rebbe and Bar Kapara. So Rebbe had made this wedding, or Rebbe was making this fantastic wedding for his son we saw yesterday, and he wasn't going to invite Bar Kapara, because Bar Kapara was a very jokey person, and Rebbe didn't like when Bar Kapara made jokes, because Rebbe was a more serious person. He took all of the responsibilities of the members of his generation on his shoulders in a very, very serious fashion. So Rebbe was going to make this wedding, and Bar Kapara came and scrawled graffiti over the wedding hall and basically said, you know, basically derided Rebbe for not inviting Bar Kapara. In the end, Rebbe invited Bar Kapara. So the Gemara today is going to start with a lengthy discussion of what happened then once Bar Kapara secured an invitation to Rebbe's wedding. Pro tip, maybe don't behave like this at a wedding, but we'll see exactly what Bar Kapara did, and then we'll see that one of Rebbe's sons-in-law got very, very offended by what Bar Kapara did, because he certainly took himself very seriously. So the Gemara is going to tell us all about that, and about his son-in-law, and a certain attribute that Rebbe's son-in-law used to have. And then we're going to hit a series of Mishnayos, starting on Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph on the bottom, and turning to Nun Aleph Amud Beis through the Amud, which is going to tell us again about if a person makes a neder using various lashonos, what is included in the neder and what is not included in the neder. And again, because the general principle is that nedarim halchin achar lashon bnei adam, that when we are dealing with nedarim, we will follow the colloquial meanings of words, and therefore, what a person says is going to be very important and very instrumental in determining what is included in the neder and what is not included in the neder. So says the Gemara again, we will pick up three lines from the bottom on Nun Amud Beis. So, Yoma de Mechayech Bar Rebbe, Asya Purinasa Le'alma, that the day that Rebbe would laugh, Peronios would come to the world. And why is it? So the answer is because Rebbe was the leader of his generation, and he accepted upon himself the suffering to atone for all of the members of his generation. And therefore, if Rebbe lost his focus and concentration, if he experienced a moment of levity, then he was afraid that it would cause the entire world to be destroyed. So Amar Leila Bar Kapara, so Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, listen, Bar Kapara, I invited you to the wedding because you prevailed upon me. However, lo tavdichun, please don't make me laugh. And in exchange for not making me laugh, yavinalach arbon garyue chite, I'm going to give you 40 measures of wheat. So in other words, basically, Rebbe was going to pay Bar Kapara to not make him laugh. So Amar Leila, so Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, lichse mar, that you'll see that whatever I want, I'm going to take. That's the way the Mefaresh understands. In other words, Rebbe said that I'm going to pay you 40 measures of wheat to not make me laugh. And Bar Kapara said, we'll see who's boss, and I'm basically going to take whatever I darn well please. So Shakal Dikula Rabba, so he took a very large basket, Chafye Kufra, he covered it with pitch, Visachfe al Reshe, and then he upended it. He upended it and put it upside down on his head, and he appeared by Rebbe. He appeared in front of Rebbe with his face covered with his basket that Bar Kapara had lined the interior of the basket with pitch. And Viamar lay, and he said to him, Lechali mar arbon geriurichite darshinabach. That I've come to collect my 40 measures of chitim. So if you envision this episode, it must have looked pretty ridiculous, right? Like Bar Kapara comes to Rebbe with his head covered by a basket, and he says that he's coming to collect the 40 measures of chitin. So the Marshal explains that Rebbe knew it was Bar Kapara, even though he was wearing a basket on his head, obviously, because Rebbe recognized Bar Kapara's voice. And so he knew that it was him. And the Ron explains that this itself was an act of comedy, right? This was a comedic act because Bar Kapara took a basket in order to collect the 40 measures of wheat that Rebbe had promised him. Bar Kappara took great pains to ensure that nothing would slip through the cracks of the basket by coating the inside of the basket with pitch. But instead of going in front of Rebbe, holding the basket right side up, he inverted the basket and put it on his head. So obviously the basket couldn't fit any of the 40 measures of wheat. So it was obviously a ridiculous ploy that Bar Kappara used. And that was the humor. So Rebbe saw this. And Achuch Rebbe, so Rebbe started laughing. He's like, Bar Kappara, this is so ridiculous. You're coming to collect the wheat, but instead of holding the basket like a normal person, you're wearing the basket on your head upside down. I can't even put any wheat in the basket now. It's just crazy. So Amar Leh, Lavaz Artich Delo Tivtuchin, did I not tell you not to make me laugh? So Amar Leh, Chita Derishna Kanasivna, I have a claim on my wheat. So, in other words, I'm coming to claim my wheat. So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, what's going on with Bar Kappara? He's such like a jokey guy that he's going out of his way to make Rebbe laugh. So he felt that if Rebbe would be in a very joyful frame of mind, if Rebbe would be very happy, he would be able to accomplish even more in learning, because a person accomplishes more in learning when he has a certain nachas ruach, when he has a certain yishuv hadas, and Bar Kappara was trying to help Rebbe achieve that state of mind. That's what he was doing. So in other words, it was all l'shem shamayim, because you read this Gemara and you think that Bar Kappara is like a really bad comedian. But the answer is no, that he had very pure motives in doing this. So Amar Leh Bar Kappara Labarte de Rebbe. So Bar Kappara said to Rebbe's daughter, Lamachar Shasina Chamra, Berikuda da Avuch, tomorrow, meaning at the wedding, I'm gonna drink wine while your father is dancing, uvikirkani deimech, and while your mother is singing. So Rashi explains, so the Ran explains, mizameres, that she's singing. Other mefarshim are troubled. How in the world is Bar Kappara drinking wine while Rebbe's wife is singing? Isn't that a problem of kol isha? So those mefarshim explain that mikirkani means like that, I can't do it because I'm Ashkenazi and I'm not Sephardi, and certainly I have a cold, so I'm certainly not going to do it. But it's like when the Sephardi women at a wedding, like they make the sound that Hananya knows how to make. So it's not actual singing, so it's not actually Kol Isha. The Mefarish says that Kirkani doesn't mean singing at all. It means b'mizigasa. It means that she's going to basically bartend for me. That, in other words, I'm going to drink wine while your father's dancing and while your mother's pouring me the glass of wine, while she's mixing me the glass of wine. But anyway, this is what he was telling the Rebbe's daughter was going to happen at the wedding. So ben el shah chasne de Rebbe ava. So it turns out that this daughter was married. Remember, the chasne was for Rebbe's son. The daughter was already married. She was married to a guy named ben Elosha, and he was Rebbe's son-in-law, v'asher gadol havi. And he was a very wealthy guy, and as very wealthy people sometimes are wont to do, he took himself very seriously. So Azmanei Lebei Lula the Rebbe Shimon Berebi. So of course he was also at the Chasana of Shimon Berebi, right? Because he was Rebbe's son-in-law, so of course he was going to be invited. So Amar Leh Bar Kappara Le Rebbe. So at the wedding, Bar Kappara says to Rebbe, "My Toeva." So what does it mean when the pasuk says Toeva? So over here now, Bar Kappara is going to try to ask Rebbe the meaning of several words that appear in the Parshias of Arayas. Why exactly he's talking about the Parshias of Arayas at the time of a wedding? Could be because at the time of the wedding is all the Arayas are, of course, usher, and now this woman is permitted, but every other woman in the world is usher to the chasen. So there's got to be some, and the Arayas is mentioned, of course, in the Birchas Erusin as well. So maybe that's why. But he was darshaning all of these psukim in the Parsha of Arayas. So it says in the Pasuk, Toeva. So it says, my Toeva. What does it mean when it says Toeva? So, kol diyamar le Rebbe, dehachin ave Toeva, parche Bar Kappara. Every attempt that Rebbe made to answer Bar Kappara, why it's called Toeva, why an illicit relationship is called Toeva, Bar Kappara would slug up the Teretz. So amar le, parche at. So finally, Rebbe got frustrated, because every answer that he lobs at Bar Kappara, Bar Kappara slaps down. So Rebbe says, you know what, Bar Kappara, you tell me why it's called Toeva. So he says, okay, you want to know why it's called Toeva? So Amar Leh, Tesi Debischi, go bring your wife, Termili Nutla, and go pour me a drink. So Asya Ramule, so she came and she poured him a drink, and then Amar Leh the Rebbe, then he said to Rebbe, Kumra Kodli, go dance for me, go dance for me. So in other words, remember, yesterday Bar Kapara told Rebbe's daughter that the mother was going to mix him a drink and Rebbe was going to dance. So Bar Kapara now said to Rebbe, you want to know why the Pasuk calls it Toeva? Go have your wife mix a drink for me. You do a little jig for me, and then I'll explain to you what's going on. So De'emer lecha hachi amar rachmana Toeva. It says Toeva because Toa Ataba, because you're straying. In other words, what does it mean straying? It says the Ran, Shemeniach, Mishkave Isha Vaholechetzel Zachar. Toeva is talking about the Parsha, Mishkav Zachar. And the reason it's called Toeva is because Toa, it's from the Lashon of string. In other words, everybody else has relations with a member of the opposite gender. You decide that you need to have a relationship with somebody of the same gender, you are straying from the right path. So that's the way he darshans the Pasuk. Says the Gemara now Viter. So Lekasach Rina, when he wanted another drink, he knew he had to work for his drinks. Samarle my tevel. He said, what does it mean when it says tevel? So tevel is the lashon that the pasuk uses when the pasuk asers bestiality. Samarle kinyana kadma. So they did as before. In other words, Rebbe tried answering every answer that Rebbe gave, Bar Kapara would slap down. And then Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, you answer. And Bar Kapara said, okay, but only if your wife mixes me another glass of wine and only if you do another dance. Samarle Avidili Amar Lecha, do as I said to you previously. So Avad, so they did it. Samarle Tevelu. So when it says Tevel, Tavlin Yeshba, is there any spice to this? In other words, is there any enjoyment out of bestiality? Mishanya Hada Bia Min Kula Bios? That if from the woman's perspective, is it any better or different to be subject to bestiality than just to have Bia with a man like a normal person? In other words, Tevel, is there Tavlin? Is there some allure to this that you're violating the Isser Torah? So says the Gemara, Amarle Umay Zima, what does Zima mean? In other words, also in the Parsha of Arayas, it talks about Zima. So what does the Lashon of Zima mean? So Amarle, Avid ki inyana kadma. So he said, well, you know, so they did as they did previously, Vavad, and they did it, meaning that his wife came, Rebbe's wife came and poured Bar Kapar another glass of wine, Rebbe did another dance, so the whole thing. V'amarle, Zumahi. And when it says Zima, Zima is talking about Stama, promiscuous woman. It's not talking about necessarily a woman who has any illicit relationships. Like, we're not talking about Mishkav Zachar. We're not talking about bestiality. We're just talking about a very promiscuous woman who goes and sleeps around with a lot of people. And the reason that it's called Zima is because Zumahi. In other words, we don't know who the father of the child is going to be. The paternity is in doubt because she sleeps with so many men. So Zumahi, we don't know the child. So basically what happened at this wedding was that Bar Kapara was basically asking Rebbe a bunch of these like Parsha riddles or Parsha of Arayas riddles. And then Bar Kapara made Rebbe dance and Rebbe's wife pour a glass of wine in order to get the answers. And ultimately, he was darshaning the answers at the wedding. So all the while, so Ben Elshah was standing there, and says the Gemara, La Yochel Ben Elshah La Misval, that Ben Elshah could not tolerate what was going on. And says the Mefaresh, what does it mean he wasn't able to tolerate? He felt that it was a zilzul for Rebbe, and he was very, very offended by the fact that he thought Rebbe was being mocked by Bar Kapara and being forced to demean himself. And the Mefarish says that Rebbe, that Ben Elshah was very rich, and because he was very rich, he took himself and his family very seriously, and he thought it was a zilzul for Rebbe to be doing this. So says the Gemara, so kum v'nafak huv insa metaman. So he and his wife left the wedding. So he was so offended that he didn't like what was going on, so he and his wife left his own brother-in-law's wedding. Okay, so he walked out. Says the Gemara, my Ben Elshah. So what's up with Ben Elshah? So my Ben Elshah, the Mefarish says, what do you mean, my Ben Elshah? He's Rabbi's son-in-law. We already told you who he is. Says the Mefarish, no, how do we know he was wealthy? In other words, we said the reason that he took himself so seriously and was so offended and makbid about the covet of Rebbe was because he was such a rich guy. How do we know that he was such a rich guy? So says the Gemara as follows, the Tanya lo nechinam pizar Ben Elshah es ma'osav. He didn't stam waste his money when he went to get like a $200 haircut. El laharos ben tespora shel kohen gadol. But what he was trying to do was he was trying to demonstrate the haircut of a kohen gadol. Dechsiv kosom yichsemu es rasheim, because it says by the kohen gadol that they have to trim their head perfectly. Tana kein lulinus. that it has to be the haircut in the style of a lulinus. So what is a lulinus? If you go into the barber shop and you ask for a lulinus, what will they give you? Some are Rav Yehuda Tispura Yichidasa. It's a uniquely beautiful haircut. Okay, but what does it look like? That's not descriptive. Hey Chidami, Amarava Rosho Shalzeh, Betsadi Karo Shalzeh, Vainu Tispura Shalkoen Gadol. What it means is very, very precisely trimmed hair so that the end of one follicle reaches to the base of the other follicle. So it's a very, very short, it's a very, very short haircut, not quite a buzz cut, but a very, very short haircut, and to make sure that the hair was always perfectly in order, and that was the tzisporus of the Kohen Gadol, and Ben Elshaw would get this haircut. He would have to get it very frequently, obviously, but it says that he didn't waste his money because he was just demonstrating the fact that it was the haircut of the Kohen Gadol, and again, from there we see he was very rich, obviously, if every couple of days, or whatever it was, every week, he had to go get this very expensive haircut. Okay, so that's it for the story time for today. Now we're back to Nedarim. So what we had said was, again, back to our Mishnah, if you recall all the way back, we said that if a person is noder from Tavshil, he is not allowed to eat that which is runny, that which is liquidy, and he is allowed to eat that which is solid, because Tavshil includes only that which is eaten with bread. Only liquid foods are eaten with bread, or liquidy foods are eaten with bread, not solid foods. Okay. So, what we had said was, we had spoken about the Beitza Termuta, this type of egg that was cooked 1,000 times in the hot water and the cold water with the Eved, that you had to pay him $1,000 to tell. Okay, so we saw the Beitza Termuta, and then we said Dala Samarutza. So what is Dala Samarutza? So my Dala Samarutza, that's also an example of a solid food that is not eaten with bread, and therefore would be mutter to eat, even if you were no there from Tavshil. So Amar Shmuel, Kara Kurkazoi. It's a gourd from Kurkazoi. Kurkazoi is the name of a place. Rav Ashi Amar Dala Satmuna Baremetz. No, it's not from a specific place. It's a gourd which is Tamun, which is wrapped in hot ash. And that's the way that it's prepared. Seisvi Ravina Luravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi, how could you say that Dalasa Marutza is only referring to the manner of preparation? Rav Nechemi Omer, Dalasa Ramis, he Dalasa Mitzris. That Dalasa Ramis is the Dalasa Mitzris. Kilayim imayavanis. And if you mix it with a Dalas Yavanis, then it's going to be Kilayim. Kilayim im haramutza, and it's also kilayim with the delas haramutza. So if we're going to say that one type of gourd is kilayim with another type of gourd, obviously the ramutza is not referring to the manner of preparation, because the fact that one gourd is prepared differently from another gourd wouldn't mean that it would be kilayim with another type of fruit. So obviously if delas haramutza is kilayim with something else, it's got to be because it's actually a different species of gourd to yufta, so the Gemara leaves that as a kasha. Okay, says now the Mishnah. Anoder mi maisa kedera, if a person is noder from maisa kedera, ein asur ela mi maisa ratchasa, he's only asur to eat that which is boiled. Amar konem hayored li kedera shani toim, if however he's noder not from maisa kedera, but anything that goes into a pot, then asur b'chol anasa b'kedera, then it's asur for him to eat anything that is made in a pot. Says the Gemara, Tanya, noder mene yored l'kedera, if a person is noder from that which goes into a pot, usur b'yored l'ilfis, it's usur for him to eat that which goes into a pan. Why is it usur for him to eat that which goes into a pan if he was noder from that which goes into a pot? Says the Gemara, shekvar yored l'kedera, kodem shered l'ilfis, because the way that they would cook in the times of the Gemara, would first they would boil something in a pot, after that they would put it in the pan. So if it's in the pan, it means it was already in the pot. But he was noder from something that was in a pot, and therefore that goes into a pot, and therefore it's going to be usher to him to eat that which is in a pan, because again, if it's in a pan, by definition, it was already in the pot, and he's not allowed to eat that which is in a pot. So, mina yored l'ilfis, however, if he's noder from that which is yored l'ilfis, mutter be yored l'kedera, it's mutter for him to eat that which is yored l'kedera, and the Rush says the chiddush is that it's not usur until it actually goes into the pan. In other words, even though the derech is first you put it in the pot, then you put it in the pan, and because this guy said that he's no der from that which is going into the pan, we know that once it's in the pot, it's going to go into the pan, and therefore, even before it goes into the pan, it should be usur. Says the Rush, the chiddush is, kamash malon, it's not going to be usur until it actually goes into the pan. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Mina Nasa Bikdera, if he is noder from that which is Nasa, and Nasa means finished in a pot, then Mutter Benasa Be'ulfis, then it's Mutter for him to eat that which is finished, that which is completed in the pan. Mina Nasa Be'ulfis, Mutter Benasa Bikdera. If he's noder from that which is Nasa, that which is completed in the pan, then it's Mutter for him to eat that which is completed in the pot. The Ron says that Nasa connotes the final element of preparation. Hanoder mina yored l'tanur, if a person is noder from that which is yored into the tanur, into an oven, ein usur ela bapas, he's only usur to eat pas. And the Ron explains, because tam yored l'tanur mashma pas, because generally speaking, what's baked in an oven? It's bread. And and then the Ron points out, vim amar, just reading what the Gemara says, vim amar kol maise tanur alai, usur b'chol anasim b'tanur. If he says anything that's made in a tanur is going to be usur to me, then he's usur to eat anything which is made into a tanner. But if he says ha yored letanner, that which is baked in an oven, that which is baked in an oven is a reference to bread, but kol yored letanner is going to be a more expansive it's going to be a more expansive lashon over here. Okay, says the Mishnah, turning to the top of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, min hakavush, if a person is noder from preserved foods, ein asur ela min hakavush shel yerek, he is only asur to eat preserved vegetables. Why? Says the Ran, because he said hakavush, it's mashma hakavush with a hey hayadia, the preserved foods, it's mashma that he is referring to that which is commonly preserved. And what is most commonly preserved? It's vegetables that are most commonly preserved, like pickles or something like that. However, kavush shani toim, if he says that he is not going to taste any preserved food, then usur b'chol akfushin. Then it's going to be usur for him to eat all types of preserved foods. Now, if we're paying attention over here, that there are two differences between the lashon in the first case in the Mishnah and the lashon in the second case in the Mishnah. The first case in the Mishnah says hakavush, and then in the second case of the Mishnah says kavush shani toim. So the Ran goes back and forth over here trying to figure out why the distinction. When he says ha-kavush, he means to asur on himself only preserved vegetables. When he says kavush ani toim, he comes to asur on himself all sorts of preserved foods. So he wonders, is the reason that the second neder is more expansive because he says kavush without the hey ayadia, or because he uses the lashon of shani toim? And his preferred explanation is that the reason that the second version is more expansive is because he says kavush instead of hakavush. And then the Ran says that the entire Mishnah and the series of Mishnayos that follow is going to be interpreted like that. When a person says ha something, that which is, it refers to that which most commonly is whatever. But if a person says all that which is, so all that which is going to be more expansive than that which is, because the hey ayadia in the Hebrew language trains our thought and focuses us in on that which is most commonly prepared in that way. And then the Gemara is going to debate what happens if a person says not hakavush or kavush, but dikavush with a dalid. So in other words, does the dalid function as the hey ayadia, or does the dalid not function as the hey ayadia? Okay, so again, hakavush, it's only that which is most commonly preserved. That's vegetables. Kavush ani toim, if the guy says stam kavush ani toim, then it's going to be usur for him to eat anything that's preserved. Min hashaluk, if he's no there from hashaluk, that which is undercooked, again with a hey idea, eina usur elimin hashaluk shalbasar, he's only going to be usur from shaluk shalbasar, undercooked meat. Shaluk shani toim, if however he says anything that's undercooked, I'm not allowed to eat, then usur b'kol hashlukin, then it's usur for him to eat all types of undercooked food. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avya le Rav Ashi, Amar di kavish mai, di shalak mai, di tzali mai, we haven't seen yet tzali, but that's what the Mishnah is going to talk about in a minute, di maliach mai, sahechan mashma, so what does that mean? Satibai, so it's going to be a, so we're going to leave it in doubt. And again, the Ran explains that that the suffek over here is whether the dalid functions just like the hey ayidia in terms of only specifying the most common usage of an item, or if it connotes a broader usage. And the Ran concludes that we go l'chumra, that because we're mesupik whether the dalid serves as a hey ayidia or whether it doesn't serve as a hey ayidia, we're going to go l'chumra and we're going to interpret his neder most broadly. So the only way to zero him in on that which is most commonly preserved or undercooked or roasted is if the guy uses the hey ayidia. If he doesn't use the hey ayidia, excuse me, then it's going to be interpreted broadly. Says the Mishnah, minatzali, if he's noder from tzali, from that which is roasted, einasar ela minatzali shabasar. It's only also from to eat roasted meat. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Tzli shani toeim, if he says tzli, that I taste, then asar b'cholat tzluyim, because he didn't use the hey ayidia, then it's asar from to eat anything that's roasted, even if he roasted something other than meat. Minam aliyach, if he says from that which is salted, in other words, ham aliyach, again with a hey ayidia, ein asar ela minam aliyach shal dog. It's only going to be asar and maliyach shal dog, because fish are that which is commonly salted. Maliach shani toeim, if however he uses a more expansive lashon of meliach shani toeim, then aser b'chol ha-meluchin, then it's aser for him to eat anything which is salted. Dugim shani toeim, if he doubles up his lashon and says dugim fish shani toeim, then aser ben gedolim ben ketanim, then it's aser for him to eat whether it's large fish or small fish, ben meluchim ben tfelin, whether it's salted fish, whether it's unsalted fish, ben chayim ben mevushalim, whether it's raw fish or whether it's cooked fish. So before we get to see what he is mutter to eat, the Ran explains that the reason that dugim connotes all sorts of fish is because dug, which is a lashon yachid, connotes a large fish, because large fish are typically sold individually, whereas dugim, the smaller fish, which are sold in bunches, that's b'lashon rabim, because they're always sold together. And the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos says that dugim is in the mold of shira shirim, where it says hevel avolim, or shira shirim. So in other words, we first use the singular phrase, and then we use the plural version of that. But dugim just means very expansive. It comes to include all sorts of fish. However, umutter betaris trufa, it's mutter for him to eat chopped fish. Uvitzir, and it's also mutter for him to eat brine. So so the reason that it's going to be mutter for him to the reason that it's going to be mutter for him to eat this stuff is because dugim is mashma whole fish. That's what the Ran says. And therefore, even though all sorts of whole fish are going to be usur and they're going to be included in his neder, chopped fish are not included in dugim. It's only whole fish, but not chopped fish. And therefore, it's going to be mutter for him to eat chopped fish. And, says the Ran, certainly it's going to be mutter for him to eat fish brine, because fish brine doesn't contain real fish at all. It's just like that which comes out of the fish, and then certainly it's going to be mutter to eat fish juice, because that's stam, like the liquid that comes out of the fish. So in other words, the brine is what the fish is sitting in, the fish juice is what comes out, it's all gross, but the fish juice is what comes out of the fish. But the point is, if the guy says dugim, it means only whole fish. If it's fish prepared in any other way, then it's going to be mutter. However, I know they're minatzachna. What if the guy is noder from tzachna? So what is tzachna? So tzachna says, says the Ran, that's dugim ketanim harbe meluchim. It's like a herring, if you think of it that way. It's like very, very small salty fish. V'yeshmeim terufin ela sheruban shleimim. That there are some which are chopped up, but most of the pieces of herring in the package are going to be whole fish. Fiktani kivan sheyeshmeim trufin aser betaris trufa. Because if a person is noder from tzachna, sachna includes some chopped up fish, then it's going to be usur for this guy to eat all sorts of chopped up fish. However, says the Ran, umiyu b'tzira b'murias moter l'fi she'en b'em chaticha shol dag el hashmina v'kravav. However, the fish brine and the fish juice is still going to be mutter for him to eat because he was only noder from chopped up fish. But this fish brine and fish juice doesn't include chopped up fish at all, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So therefore, I know them in a sachna, and if a person is know them from sachna, which includes chopped up fish, and usr b'taras trufa, then it's usr for him to eat taras trufa, mutter b'tzira b'murias, and it's mutter for him to eat brine and fish juice. I know them in taras trufa. However, if a person is know there from taras trufa, then usr b'tzir u b'murias. Then it's going to be usr for him to, then it's going to be usr, then, the girsa over here changes to mutter, betzir v'murias. Again, if you are noder from the chopped fish, then it's mutter for you to eat brine. Because the neder clearly doesn't include brine, brine does not include chopped fish. And therefore, if you're noder from whole fish, you're usr in all sorts of whole fish. But you're allowed to eat chopped fish. And certainly you're allowed to eat brine and fish juice. If you're noder even from chopped fish, then you're not allowed to eat chopped fish, but you are allowed to eat brine and fish juice because that's only the juice of the fish. It doesn't contain cut up pieces of the fish altogether. Says the Gemara now, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Dag shani toim, if a person says dag shani toim, usr bigdolim umutter bigtanim, then it's going to be usr for him to eat large fish, but it's mutter for him to eat small fish. Again, because we had said dag, according to the Ran, means large fish. That's why it is written balashon yachid, because large fish are sold individually. So therefore, if he only says dag, then it's going to be usr for him to eat large fish, it's going to be mutter for him to eat small fish. Dagashani toim, if he says dagah with a hay, then asr bektanim and mutter bigdolim, because dagah connotes only small fish, it does not connote large fish. Dag dagashani toim, asr bengdolim bengketanim. If he says dag dagah, he uses the word for large fish, he uses the word for small fish, like our Mishnah said, dag dagim, it's going to be asr for him to eat both the large fish as well as the small fish. Samarle Rapapa Labaya, Mimai the dog shani toim gadalu. How do we know that when he says dog, he means a large fish? So we had said, but the Ran explained because it's a lashon yachid and they're sold individually. But how do you know that dog means a large fish? Tchsiv, because it says, Bayona vayaman Hashem, dog gadol levloa es yona. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed a large fish to swallow Yonah. So it's dog, and it says dog gadol. Aye, but it also says Vaksiv Vayispalo Yona Lashem Elokov Mime Hadaga. And if you're saying Daga is a small fish, so which was it? Was it a large fish that swallowed Yona? Was it a small fish that swallowed Yona? What exactly happened here? So Halokasha Dilma Palte Dagado Labali Dagatan. Well, not Akasha, because maybe the Dagadol initially swallowed him, but then spat him out, and then a small fish swallowed him again. And so it could be that both are true. The big fish swallowed Yonah, and then later on, Yonah was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the inside of a small fish because the big fish spat him out, then the small fish wound up swallowing him. So says the Gemara, Ella Vadaga Asher Bayor Mesa, if we are going to be very specific with the distinction between dog and daga, that dog means only large fish, daga means small fish. So in the Makkah of Dam, where it says in the Pasuk, Vadaga Asher Bisfasa Yoramesa, that the fish that were in the water that turned into blood, they all died. Saktana Mesu Gdolum Lamesu. So you're gonna interpret this very, very specifically, that daga means only the small fish. Only the small fish died when they were in blood, but not the big fish. That can't be possible. So Ella daga mashma gedolim and mashma ktanim. However, you're right. Daga means both big fish and small fish. Ubenedarim halach achar lashem bnei adam. But here's the key. This is what we began this perek with. That by nedarim we're always holech achar lashem bnei adam. So you're right. From the psukim, daga could mean either big fish or small fish. However, when a person speaks colloquially, when he says dog, he means a big fish. When he says daga, he means a small fish. And by nedarim we're holech achar lashem bnei adam. And that's why we said daga means a small fish. Okay, says the Gemara, now Vaitar, I know der menat sachna, that if a person is noder from tzachana, then we said it's going to be usur b'taris trufa, because tzachana is a type of like chopped up fish. It's going to be usur for him to eat other chopped up fish. So Amar Ravina Ravashi, Amar Harealite tzichin mai. What if the guy says that all tzichin should be usur to me? So what's tzichin? So tzachna literally defined means stench. And tzichin therefore means very strong smelling things. So the Gemara says tzachna refers to a dish. Tzachna is herring. But there are a lot of people, you probably know some of them, who refuse to pass herring. They're repulsed by it. Why? Because it smells. So what if he says tzichin? Anything that smells. So does anything that smells refer only to tzachna, only to the herring itself, or does it refer also to the herring juice, because that also smells? So if a person says tzichin, which is anything smelly, does that maybe include fish brine and fish juice? Because so far we've not been successful in identifying any lashon that includes the fish brine and the fish juice. What if the guy says tzichin, which connotes the broadest type of anything that smells? So the Gemara leaves it as a suffix. We don't know what that includes, and we are therefore a misupak. All right, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow we're going to continue with the series of Mishnayos. Again, what's included in the various forms of Nedarim. Hope everybody has a great day.